There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you all along. Another couple hours of live local talk, and we can, you know, we can interact a lot of different ways here. Good old-fashioned phone call at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also the same for a text on the Ascension Technologies text line, 343-0106. And a reminder, too, you got that great FM Talk 106.5 app. You can use that to leave us one of those talkback messages. You record a message and it emails it to the station. Do that with the microphone icon right there on the front page of the app of FM Talk 106.5. All right, coming up on today's show, in just a few minutes here, my buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com. Also, my friend Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die. Yeah, this is the veterans rowing team. They're getting ready to line up for another of these Atlantic Challenge races to row a boat across the Atlantic from La Gomera in the Canary Islands to Antigua. We'll talk about that. And a fundraiser coming up, a chance to meet the team this weekend. And also Erica Thomas coming up in hour number two of the show. So lots of good stuff on the way. Before we get to Cameron, I want to... And just a couple things in my notes. Let me. I'm always looking for the, you know, where's the money? Where's the money? Other than J.P. Morgan, where the money is? 3M is where the money is. Let me just give you. I don't know, is 3M the company or 3M under what umbrella? I'm not sure. But so I've been redoing the FM Talk 106.5 podcast studio. So not the studio I'm sitting in, but on back the hallways here at the opulent Bigler Broadcasting Facilities. Redoing that and putting back up this. We call it, Sonics is a brand name, but it's a sound deadening. The stuff you see on the walls, you see a picture of like a radio studio, you see all this foam on the walls. So putting it back up and using the command strips, right? So I'd had it up for a long time. I had to take it all down because they painted the studio, redid this thing. Come back in. I am now in plastic Velcro sticky stuff. I got to go check the two receipts. I think I'm like $127 in. That's where the money is. It's in command strips. That's where, to heck with the oil companies or buying into social media companies, you know, Meta or whatever, you know, the X or whatever Elon's doing. It's, you might think the CHIPS Act out there, maybe you should buy into some, you know, American company's going to build out chip manufacturing here stateside. No. Now, get in the command strips sticky tape. Investment. I'm looking, you know, if my broker is listening, can you direct me towards some specific stocks or maybe a fund that really focuses on things that stick stuff to walls? Stuff is like, yes, I'm open for people saying, well, Sean, I got a cheaper way to do it. And I can't use the spray stuff, you know, like the and I think that's 3M too, right? That you spray it like it's like an aerosol can of adhesive. I can't do that either. So you get a better idea for me. Please let me know on the Ascension Technologies text line, and I'll be interested because right now the money is in command strips out there. That's exactly where the big money is. All right, let's get started with our conversation. Of course, tonight the debate. That kicks it all off officially, right, for the 2024 season. To talk more about that, our friend Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, Sean. I made it, and I've got headphones. I'm good. I'm sitting in my car. It's very exciting.
You want to tell them what happened? You didn't have your headphones ready in your home studio?
Yes, I was sitting there ready to go. My headphones had died. And you were like, yeah, there's feedback. So I ran across the street, ran up three flights of stairs, jumped into my car in the parking garage, and now I'm here for you guys.
Good. Well, I appreciate the commitment and the light burst of exercise here in the August heat.
Hey, you know, I may be a little sweaty, but it's more of like a glistening sweat, so it's attractive.
Yeah, when I think of you, I think glistening. That's exactly what I think,
obviously,
Cameron.
Obviously.
So, yeah, talk about your latest piece. People can read over at AL.com. Republicans must choose between Trump knockoffs and turncoats. And I think we'll kind of intermesh these, the conversation you put up and the conversation I want to have. I want to do this. Your debate predictions for tonight. Who will win? Who will lose? Who will stay static? You have some sense here amongst the wannabes?
Yeah, I do. And Ron DeSantis must win. And what I mean by that is he's been sort of the number two, that everybody's second choice for a lot of the, what we'll call it, the pre-debate era. Because truthfully, until these debates happen, people aren't really paying attention. But he's flagged lately. And we've seen that in the polls where it's just, he's not gotten the traction that he wants, and he's got to have a breakout performance or he's in trouble. My wishful thinking is Tim Scott comes across as a optimistic conservative in the vein of Reagan to kind of take us there. Do I know that he can do that? No, that's my wish. I think the one that people are going to watch is Vivek Ramaswamy, because here's a guy who knows how to connect with people. He knows how to entertain. I've questioned some of his policy ideas and whether they're even remotely achievable, but man, he knows how to entertain. And I think he's gonna be the tough guy to hold back in this debate while Chris Christie tries to bludgeon DeSantis and just about everybody else.
You know, I'm spot on. You said that several times. While Ramaswamy entertains, and that is a key. You know, it's something I've seen when politicos try to get into talk radio, and I'd say some will work and some will not, because are they entertaining? But there is that big entertainment part of this. I mean, you say, well, it's not right, it shouldn't be, but it is. It's what Trump did so well. You know, Trump would be in a debate, and you know, somebody say something that he didn't like, he'd just say, wrong. That's something that a normal coach for a debate would say, well, you don't do that. He does it. He's entertaining. People pay attention. I think Ramaswamy can do that same thing and be entertaining. The question is, and you started off saying DeSantis has to win. Man, maybe something will happen tonight, but the things I've seen for DeSantis here over the last couple of weeks in Iowa and all that, I don't know that he has that entertainment gene in him. I don't know if it's there.
Yeah, and here's who needs to lose tonight: Washington consultants, because I think this is, and I know lots of them, but that they have this attitude that we know what the American people want. No, they don't. They come from Washington D.C. They're looking at polls. They're looking at, you know, all these metrics. They have not been to flyover country, right? And what's happening is somebody like Ron DeSantis employs these consultants, listens to them, and is not authentic, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the knockoffs, is it's, okay, Ron, we know you're like Trump light. Why are you better? Why should we listen to you? And until he kind of breaks free from the poll testing and consultancy, he's gonna just feel fake. And I think that's where, with my piece, and you know, I've been critical of Trump. Mm-hmm. I call balls and strikes, but Trump is uniformly authentic. He has been the same guy from day one, and you can bet your bottom dollar he's not like, you know, I wonder if I say this, will voters like me? He just says it. He just says, hey, this is where I feel today. This is who I am. Take it or leave it. And that's a powerful, powerful thing with voters. And right now, the field feels like you've got your Pence, Christie, Haley, folks that are, they enjoyed Trump's political life when it benefited them, and then have kind of turned on him. And then you've got the knockoffs like DeSantis, and I'll even say Ramaswamy a bit. It's sort of like, we're like him. And then you got Trump himself. That's basically it. And until somebody, reason, this is my hope for Tim Scott, give me a reason to follow you. It's kind of like Coach Saban with the quarterbacks, like, make me play you. That's how I feel about the debate. Give me a reason to think you're actually a formidable contender who can beat Joe Biden and go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump. Because if you're not, and it's just knockoffs and turncoats, I think Trump may actually be, and this is coming from me,
yeah,
maybe the only candidate in the field.
Yeah, the people that have pre-typed their text to this show when they know you're coming on because they're ready to push back if you say anything that's not complimentary of Trump, they may have to erase some of that. Because, I mean, in your piece, you not only say that he's the single most authentic candidate seeking the Republican nomination for president, you also point out he's about to smoke the rest of the primary field. And I've been saying that for a while. Look at it. He's going to crush them. Unless somebody breaks out. So I look at Ramaswamy. My losers on my list are Chris Christie, because I don't know without having Trump. I mean, Trump's going to be there. In the ghost of Trump will be on that stage tonight. But without, okay, Christie turns and he goes against DeSantis, but it's not the same because Christie's set up to go against Trump. And then Mike Pence, while I take a lot of arrows defending what he did on January 6th, he's also ran. I mean, does Mike Pence really think he is going to be the next president of the United States?
I say in my piece that if Mike Pence talks any slower, we're going to have to check for a pulse. And I like him just fine, but and talk about entertaining and something compelling for voters, it's just not there. And that's not a I don't like you. It's a you just don't have it. And I think that's what's happening is Trump, for all his flaws, is saying, I'm here, I'm going to go, I'm going to be what I am, and the rest of y'all all kind of reflect me. Either you don't like me or you want to be me. And Republican voters can see that, and when they do, they're like, but I don't like you now. And so I think it's incumbent on any one of them to say, I'm an alternative to Trump, and not just go bash Trump, but say, here's why I'm better. I'm a better option for you. And if we don't see that tonight, and I say this in my piece, that field needs to narrow significantly. And then ultimately, Republican voters may not have much of an option. And for me, I mean, that's sad because half of the Republican voters right now are looking for an option other than Trump. And the rest of the field just isn't giving it to them.
Okay, so let's think about questions tonight. I wonder, you know, I mentioned Pence on January 6th. Do you think there's going to roll out like a January 6th question, like a litmus test there, which is also kind of a question about Trump? Do you think they're going to have to answer something to that effect?
If the Fox moderators are worth their salt, they need to ask point blank, was the 2020 election stolen?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, put Republicans on the stage to say, hey, yes or no. And that's a big deal with the Republican base voters, because still a lot of folks believe that. And we've got to resolve that before we can move forward, because it's very clear that a lot of Republican leaders, specifically Trump, don't want to move on from that. And a lot of us do. And so that's a dividing question. And otherwise, part of the problem with the Republican debate is on policy, we're talking nuance, right? Mm-hmm. And we are not a nuanced culture right now. So the moderators are going to have to pull out, well, what's the difference? Why are you better than Trump? And in what way? And if they can't do that, then it's just a waste of our time.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the places they go, it might be foreign policy. You know, it will be a Ukraine question or something like that, trying to put like Nikki Haley, you know, lined up against, Nikki Haley and Christie lined up against maybe Ramaswamy and DeSantis or something like that. You know, that maybe they'll use that. I mean, you're right. They got to find the differences out there to make this interesting.
Yeah, and spending, I mean, some of the fiscal policies. The question for me is how much they're going to make it about Trump, even though he's not there.
I think a bunch about
he's
Trump.
He's a one-trick pony. He's going to keep dragging Trump back into it. And, you know, we've heard what he said. I mean, the problem for Christie is he's pretty much just the destroyer of candidates. Like, he's there solely for the purpose of taking down Donald Trump, dragging out any of his acolytes. I don't actually think Chris Christie's campaigning in any way to be president of the United States, but he's really good on his feet. He's really pointed. Just ask Marco Rubio.
True. But I mean, can you, this is a fair question. It may seem simplistic. Could you picture Chris Christie as the next president of these United States?
No. Okay. And I don't even know that Chris Christie can. I think he's saying, I'm so tired of this crap. I'm tired of us over and acting like everything is perfectly fine. I'm sympathetic to that position. I'm simply saying, if you want to run for president, run for president. And if you disagree with Donald Trump, you can disagree with him. But disagreeing with Donald Trump is not a platform. It's not anything right to run on. And that's what Chris Christie's decided to do.
Yeah, crazy thing, too. Now, this has come up as they've interviewed the other candidates here in the Republican primary when something happens with an indictment. But tonight it'll be in a debate format. The rivals for Trump tonight will have to defend the person that they say they should beat in the primary, right? I mean, that's going to be part of that. They're going to roll out a question about the indictments, and then all the other candidates are going to have to defend Trump on these indictments. At the same time, they're telling the American people that we're the better choice.
That goes back to the DC consultancy. They've all poll tested and they're all scared, right? If we say the truth, like, hey, let's let the legal process work itself out. You know, I trust the American people. I trust jurors to and the legal system to sort this out and then move on to a positive vision. That's the right answer. But the ones who are up there and they still genuflect to Trump, they bend the knee and say, well, Trump's magical. Why are you running? Because if you think he's the best candidate, then you shouldn't be in the race.
Yep.
And I don't think that anybody that defends Trump after Trump's not there. And to be clear, I think Trump's the victim of Washington consultants. He's running a more standard campaign. He's obviously starting to listen to his attorneys and say, hey, it's probably not best to throw more words out there. He canceled that press conference. And, you know, this to me is a misstep from him, seriously, because part of his authentic appeal is that he shows up and just crushes everybody. And to say, I'm actually fine, I don't think I have to do this anymore, feels very DC insider-ish, and even his base voters aren't going to like that.
Yeah, and as we wrap here, too, you wonder coming out of this, obviously this is part of the fundraising game, and the stories about DeSantis having to let people go, this and that. I wonder if you go further down the line here, how big this is for, you know, Ramaswamy or Tim Scott or somebody tonight to at least have some money come in. You know, you don't have to win, but how close? You have to be runner up. You have to be in third place to have some dollars come into your campaign.
You got to get on the radar. I mean, this is the first debate. It's when people start paying attention and you need to make a statement. You don't I listened to Scott Walker earlier and he said it's not enough to just have a command presence. You've got to have a breakout moment. And I think for me, I'm looking at Scott, hopefully. I'm looking at Ramaswamy because I think he's got the entertainment value. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I'm looking at DeSantis and saying, man, you got to show up pretty quick or you're toast.
That's for sure. All right, Cameron, of course, folks can go read this over at AL.com, your latest piece. But if they want to get everything that's happening in your world, what's the best way to find you?
The easiest way is at D. Cameron Smith on X or Twitter. Come join the conversation tonight. I'm going to be tweeting during the debate, and I'd love to hear what y'all think.
Okay. I got to get up early for a flight tomorrow, but I may get into some Coors Lights and tweet right there or X or whatever post right there along with you, all right?
Roll Tide, Sean.
Roll Tide, my friend. There he goes. Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1227, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Reading through some of these texts here. Like Dan says, Ramaswamy, RFK Jr., 2024. This kind of Frankenstein campaign stuff, it's like what happens in foods, right? Like, what if we take Oreos and mix them with steak or something? I get the entertainment value, but these are things that are not happening. Like the RFK Jr. stuff, interesting guy, but you need to look at the full breadth of what he believes in. And there may be parts of it, this is because it's a normal human thing. I'm always worried when people say, I 100% agree with candidate whomever. I'm like, man, wow, I don't agree with myself 100% of the time. But the things would be different. There'd be some big differences between Ramaswamy and RFK Jr. But yeah, the disruptor, I do. There's a disruptor effect. Yeah. So that's in the mix. All right. Irish Indian said, Sean, wouldn't Pence be the most qualified to run our nation? You know, you're pulling at me here, Irish Indian. You know, I have a thing for the rule of law for what Mike Pence did. I know it bothers a lot of people about me. Oh, well. But he's not presidential material. He's just not. He does not have the charisma to do the job. He, you know, I just don't. I don't know. I don't see him. Don says, "Good afternoon, Sean. I have an old school alternative to 3M dilemma for your longleaf pines sap." Okay, well, you think I should go ahead and catface some longleafs and bring sap in here to put the sound deadening stuff on the wall in the studio? It's kind of it's different. And he says, back in the day, they used to drive a steel pipe in the side of the tree. As a result, the tree would try to mend itself. Sap would run through the pipe. Hence, the beginning of production of turpentine. Your studio would smell good, too. Works great as a paint remover. If you've ever parked underneath one, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, I'm familiar with the turpentine. We just, we go cheap in there. I just cat face those trees, Don. We put a bucket, you know, on a nail below it. It couldn't make it. What kind of mess would be in here? It wouldn't be. It'd be fine in the studio. Slathering sap and putting up sound deadening stuff. I like your idea. I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I like it. All right, news is next, and then my buddy Bryant Knight joins me. Lots to talk about with him in just minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Y'all say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and SUVs in the mix. How about it?
Yeah, good afternoon, Sean. Yeah, we've got a really good selection of SUVs right now, full-size, mid-size, and smaller ones. I mean, everything from a Honda CR-V to the Cadillac SRX up to the Yukon Denali, the Lincoln Navigator, the Ford Expedition, and I'm talking about late model, good miles, priced extremely right. I mean, everything's back of NADA, which I think is the comfortable source for everybody. There's 12,000 books, but NADA has been around for a long time, and that's the one we use.
Now, let's talk about financing, because people look at what's going on with money out there. What's that mean for financing rates with y'all?
Well, that's another thing. When you go back to the NADA book values that we use, financing, if you've got good credit and decent credit, sometimes we can get these things done with absolutely no money down. If you've got negative equity and a trade-in, sometimes we can get that rolled over to the next one without you having to come out of pocket any money. So financing rates and everything have stayed steady for us. We haven't had any problems with them at all. So now's the time. I don't see them going up with us in the future. I think they've done what they're going to do.
All right. Tell folks how to come find you. Check out that inventory. Talk financing and get their next vehicle.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. If you don't see a picture you want, just give us a call and we'll text you one.
Good stuff. David, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good week.
Hey, you too. There he is, David McCrary from LCM Motorcars. And get to these. Some news, some breaking news, though, before we go anywhere else. Yeah, I saw, I think it was Bill. Yeah, Bill texted in, news just in. The Wagner Group leader, Prigozhin, killed in a plane crash in Russia. That took longer than I thought it would. Yeah, so thank you, Bill. From BBC right now, Wagner boss Yevgeny Prigozhin on board a crashed Russian plane. I'd be surprised. What about the person that was in charge of the moon landing for Russia that failed and immediately went on into a medical facility somewhere there, up on the top floor, probably. Dalton's walking in with a concerned look on his face. Well, it's coming from the BBC. It says, Wagner boss Yevgeny Prigozhin on board a passenger plane crashed in Russia, killing all 10 on board.
It seems legit. I mean, I don't have any reason to believe it's not, but I had this morning, I don't think I ever got around to it, but he just published a video yesterday. I was seeing reports, first sight of Prigozhin, he was in Africa, and he was recruiting Wagner.
Was he?
More mercenaries to go.
Was he?
I don't know.
Says BBC says, okay, so he was believed to be aboard the plane. Earlier, Wagner-linked Telegram channel Gray Zone reported that the jet was shot down by air defenses in the Tver region north of Moscow. So, I mean, the layers of this. Prigozhin led the failed mutiny against Russian armed forces back in June. This is all I've got. It's coming from BBC. But so not only, usually the style would be, there was a problem with the airplane, the jet had an issue, it crashed, so we're breaking hearts, it's so sad. But they're, at least what they're reporting on BBC right now, and they're reporting what was said on Telegram. Mm-hmm. Okay, so like take your grains of salt here. The jet was shot down by air defenses over the Tver region north of Moscow.
So there are two birds, one stone here. Uh-huh. Saying we got rid of Prigozhin and our air defense.
Works.
But
they say the jet was like some threat to Moscow? They're going to probably come up with Prigozhin was coming back, and he's coming back in the jet to like take over the Kremlin.
Second try at the coup, maybe. See, what I had from last night, and I think this was the New York Post, they also were using Telegram. And they said Prigozhin has resurfaced in his first video since leading the botched uprising against the Kremlin. Shows the 62-year-old mercenary dressed in camouflage, brandishing an assault rifle, and it popped up on Telegram channels tied to Wagner on Monday. He said his paramilitary group's recruiting heroic warriors to fulfill the tasks that were set.
So they emptied out all the prisons in Russia, and now he's going elsewhere?
Yeah, and so they said he was in Africa, where, of course, there's a lot going on. One of the clues here, Prigozhin said the 122-degree temperatures are, quote, as we like. The Wagner PMC makes Russia
as we like
even greater on all continents and Africa even more free. They said Wagner's been in Mali since at least 2021, hired by a local military junta. So that's I'm just surprised the turnaround of these stories. They're saying yesterday he was in Africa. Now he's been shot down in Russia.
Over Moscow. Well, I mean, if he was there, he could be flying back into Moscow.
Yeah.
Right? Moscow. So it says, now Telegram, they do a pretty good job reporting Ukraine stuff. So they're reporting this. Yevgeny Prigozhin has been killed in a private jet crash in the Tver region north of Moscow, Russian agencies have reported. So now it's not just Telegraph. It's saying Russian agencies have reported. The Wagner mercenary boss was on board the aircraft when it crashed, killing all 10 passengers. You know who I'm not riding with?
Prigozhin.
Prigozhin said, hey, well, you want to hop in with me in a car, a plane? I'm like, I'm good. I'm
no
good.
No thanks.
I'm good. I'll go on the next plane.
Yeah.
According to Russia's Federal Air Transport Agency, so this is more meat on this bone now, an investigation of the Embraer plane crash that happened to be in the Tver region this evening was initiated. Here's a quote. According to the passenger list, first and last name of Yevgeny Prigozhin was included in this list, end quote. We don't know. The flight appears to have been traveling between Moscow and St. Petersburg. So, he's from Bali to St. Petersburg to Moscow.
To Moscow.
I guess. We all do that. Wagner Link Telegram channels have reported the plane was shot down by Russian air defenses. So,
this is kind of like, remember, for so long, and it wasn't just Osama, but you'd get videos here and there of Osama bin Laden, and you're like, well, maybe this was actually filmed 3 months ago, and they just released it now. Both sides want to put out propaganda here. So, another instance, I mean, the BBC story, it all sounds legit, but Russia also has reason to say, look, we took care of that problem, even if they really didn't.
Okay, but because, I mean, he was given... Remember they said he was going to go over to Belarus, right? That's where he was, like, and acting like Belarus is Switzerland or something. I mean, Belarus is aperture of Russia. Like, when they said, well, you'll go to Belarus, he'll be fine there. How's he going to be fine there?
Yeah.
I mean, Belarus does what Russia wants. So then he leaves Belarus, and like you said, they got, supposedly he's in Mali, recruiting.
Cruton. Five stars.
Yeah, a lot of five-star mercenaries. That's where some of the best talent coming out of Mali. Getting them. But now we're told by the flight tracker here, which I don't know if there's a real flight tracker here on the tail number on the plane, but he was traveling between St. Petersburg and Moscow, and, oh no, Russian air defenses shot down that jet.
Shot him down.
So the Embraer, they make commercial passenger jets and private jets. I don't think they make any military aircraft. There's a lot of planes like the, and I may not pronounce it right, I say Embraer, but
are you saying Ember, like E-M-B-E-R?
No, it's Embraer. No, it's got an extra I've always just read it and never said it out loud, but the let's see, it's E-M-B-R-A-E-R.
Okay.
Embraer, something. They make, you fly like the little, the puddle jumpers out of here sometimes, the connector, they'll be those jets.
Okay.
They're the smaller tubes. The ones like two on one side and one on the other of the jet. The regional thing, if you're leaving out of Mobile. I think they make some of those. So
are Russian air defenses just shooting things out of the sky?
When those things have Prigozhin in it, maybe.
I guess so.
I mean, who bought the square for today when Prigozhin would die?
Well, yeah. I mean,
anybody
at this
have
point,
that in your, you have that in your grid?
It's been long enough now where you're thinking, maybe they are going to let it slide. Maybe they, one theory I saw when
they're
all
polite.
This.
Now listen, listen, if anything you can say about the Russians, they're polite.
Yeah.
They would give it the appropriate amount of time before they would room temperature precaution.
I saw one theory at the time of the alleged coup that because this became such a grinding war and because Wagner had lost so many in the day-to-day fighting, that Prigozhin at one point was like, look, we would be better served elsewhere. You can use the... you can use the rest of the fodder in Russia to fight this war against Ukraine. If it's going to take years and there's going to be people dying every day, we would be better off somewhere else, whether it's in Africa or... So I one of the theories I saw was that was all to make Putin look tough, like he put this coup down,
right,
and also to get Prigozhin and Wagner the heck out of Ukraine and somewhere else where maybe their mercenary skills would be more useful. But that was just a theory.
Okay, so it's a flawed theory. Okay, so I mean, first of all, I picture Prigozhin saying, I'm taking my talents elsewhere.
Yeah, South Beach.
So you're going to say that the war that could destroy Russia, the war in Ukraine, which I still think Russia wins that war. I've said it from the word go. I believe in Ukraine's right to defend themselves. But, I mean, the green machine, go look at the Battle of Stalingrad, Stalingrad, and you realize Russians will always win those kind of wars of attrition. But you're telling me that... So Russia would say, you know, the ones that actually get things done, the Wagner group, that actually has had some victories for them, we're going to pull them out and send them to some third world mercenary battle and not keep them on the front lines in the Donbass.
Well, I think at some point, you know, if this theory were to be real, that it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Wagner or just some kid that picked up a rifle for the first time last week in Russia, that... they're probably going to die, and it's going to be a long, drawn-out, grinding war, and that would be the reasoning behind getting Wagner out there to maybe make moves elsewhere.
But they're saying that the value of the Wagner fighters is higher than the kid from Vladivostok, right, who just gets thrown into the meat grinder.
Right.
Yes, but Russia wants to win this war, and the ones that showed up from Vladivostok or the Ural Mountains or whatever were unsuccessful. The Ukrainians were, I think they were killing or injuring, it was 2-1 or 3-1, because they were fighting on home turf, too. Mm-hmm. They're killing 2 or 3-1 to Ukrainians dying. So you'd want to put your better players in there to get that thing done.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Do you think he's dead? Or do you think he's not
dead? He's dead. I do think he's dead. So what do you think? No?
I'm gonna take the other side of the coin. I think we're going to see more videos of Prigozhin popping up in Africa.
So there's no line on this, you're saying. It's just a pick 'em. It's just straight up pick 'em.
Straight up pick 'em.
I say Prigozhin's dead. You say Prigozhin's alive.
I say he's in Africa.
Okay. You think he's there. From the Ascension Technologies text line, I'll need to see what y'all think at 343-0106. I do, before we go to the news, want to point out that Jason on the text line said that Prigozhin maybe was taking advantage of the transfer portal in this when he was down there recruiting, and he was doing his recruiting in Mali. You said that's where he was.
Yeah, the NIL deals for Wagner just rolling in right now,
big time, insane out there. All right, we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Oh, I see what y'all did there. Lots of jerky little G.I. Joes on R&R from Cuba and Russia. I get it. Stones, we'll be right back.
Screams the center 42. Loud enough to burst the frame there. The opposition's tongue is cut in two. Keep on the street because you're in danger. 100,000 disparos. Lost in the jails in South America. Curl up, baby.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
There you got 1252 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Yeah, who cares what Dalton and I think about it? Although we'll get to your text here. Our next guest, U.S. Army Special Forces Officer Green Beret, all around outstanding human being, co-founder of Team Fight or Die, U.S. Vet Row. Bryant Knight joins me. Bryant, I got to ask you here. So Dalton and I just, with the Prigozhin news that he gets shot down today by Russian air defenses coming from St. Petersburg to Moscow. I was just asking, who had August 23rd on their card for the day Prigozhin dies?
I had it August 23rd. Well, no, I didn't have it August 23rd. I had July 23rd, and to be quite honest, I had it when Wagner Group entered Syria months and months back. So, you know, I totally lost the bet on this one.
Yeah, I mean, you had the bolt. You know, I could go. With the multiplier effect, I had early August and I had polonium poisoning. I did not have the 23rd and Russian air defenses shoot down Embraer private jet with Prigozhin in it. I did not have that. I would have made some big money if I had that parlay.
Well, you know, you just never know about what's going on over there in Russia.
For sure. Let's talk about what's going on back here at home. Telling the folks earlier that this year's team, the All-Ranger team for U.S. Vet Row, doing the Atlantic Challenge, they've been in town enjoying the 100-and-something degree temperature training for the race. That's coming up in December.
It's coming up December 12th for the FOD 23 team. And, yes, they've been in Mobile for the whole month of August. And, you know, these fellas, this team, they're from up north, Ohio, North Carolina, you know, just all over the place, Wisconsin, and they're not used to this humidity and this heat, so they're feeling it. They've been out in the bay almost every day training, rowing. If they've not been in the bay, they've been over at the Buccaneer Yacht Club under the pavilion, still in the humidity and heat, and, you know, preparing their, packing out their boat and preparing everything. So it's been good to see this team down here and operating.
And this city where they train embraces the fight or die team each year when they come in to train. And people often ask me, you'll come on, or I'll be talking about it. They say, how can I help? How can I help? And often I'll say, well, you go to usvetrow.org for information, more information and donations. But there's a chance to come out and do something in person and get you some pancakes. This is going on Saturday.
That's right. Ed Seafood Shed over in Daphne. We're having a pancake breakfast fundraiser. So, you know, I don't know about you, Sean, but I'm a big fan of pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when my wife cooks me pancakes. I love it when I cook pancakes for my kids. But yeah, there's going to be pancakes galore, and it's a thing that, you know, Pete and Nick have done. For the past several years for Fight or Die, have this pancake fundraising breakfast fundraiser, and it's a lot of fun. You'll get to see the boat. The team will be out there. You know, we're getting this new wrap. Gulf Coast Graphics is putting on a new wrap for us for the new boat, the new racing boat, and yeah, it'll be out there, and everybody will get to see it. So I really hope that a lot of folks can come out, get some pancakes, come meet the team, and come see the new boat.
Yeah, just first of all, seeing the new boat is amazing, but more amazing, meeting these veterans, these heroes that have decided on their own accord to go row across the Atlantic. It really is a daunting thing, and Bryant being somebody who could attest to it personally. And there's always stuff needed. I mean, we've had this big push for the new boat to replace the Whoopi, and the resilience of the new boat, the wrap there. But there's all, like I talked about on Amazon Prime Day, all the stuff we needed for the team. There's a ton of things that still have to be added before that resilience goes in the container ship and goes over to the Canary Islands.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was really tough when the organization lost the boat last year. Thank God the team survived and was rescued at sea. And, you know, this sport isn't for the faint of heart. You know, we recruit these teams from all over. Most of these teams, they come as a team. They want to race in the world's toughest row, and they want to test themselves. And we make that available for a lot of our veterans and veteran communities out there across the country. We bring them here to Mobile, and we train them and get them prepared and get them off the race. But, you know, that was really tough to see and to go through. And so there is a huge requirement still out there that this team is in need, you know. So you can go to the Amazon webpage they have there and see that whole list of things that the team needs if anybody wants to donate. But, yeah, we're still under the gun, but I think we're going to get there. And, you know, I'm always positive. I would say motivated every day, and I think we're going to get there.
Absolutely. And we put that link up, but y'all can also go to, I mean, just Team Fight or Die. You can look at on Facebook and get it there, usvetrow.org. Bryant, once again, pancakes Saturday morning, and people turn out. And big thank you to Pete and Nick. Really been great supporters.
They really have, and thank you, Sean. I really do appreciate it.
I appreciate you. And, yeah, I'm sorry you missed your square on Prigozhin.
I missed it. How much was on it? What did we have?
I think the payoff, the payoff is going to be like $3,000 or something like that. So, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, man, I know. We could have used that for the team. All right, Brian, we'll do it again soon. Thank you, man.
All right, bye-bye.
There it goes. Brian Knight, Team Fight or Die, usvetro.org. I have 100% confidence in this group. Couldn't be a bigger fan. Do that on Saturday. Help do it for me. All right? This is a group I believe in big time. Go get some pancakes. Help out our team. Be right back. Hour number two coming your way next.